Brian Elliott doesn't get a loss. He gets a shutout, but they lose the game. You wish they had that when you played? You lose, you get a shutout, and
goals against average is zero. You got an L? Yeah, and yeah. It seems funny, but it that's the way it goes.
Another shootout last night.
Yeah, I think there's lots of. I hear they think there's more now than there was this time last year. So it's I think the long change. I find, you know, we played Boston the other night. We lost the draw off the faceoff. They got into our zone. They can make changes on the fly, and we sort of got people stuck on the ice. So the long change, I think, has certainly made a big. It's hard to get people off the ice in overtime 4-on-4 because you start getting into your zone and their bench is right there, and they can have the puck and make a quick change and start to get fresh legs out. So hopefully, I think it's a small sample size. Hopefully, here over time, it has an impact. More games are decided in overtime.
You're not going to give up on the 3-on-3 thing, though, are you?
No, I got to wait. I like 3-on-3, but
so do I.
I think obviously they're trying it in the American League.
Have you seen much traction on that?
No, I haven't seen. You know, we have a rookie tournament in Traverse City. We use the American mm-hmm. League formula, and I think 7 games went to extra time, and I think 6 were decided in
you're right.
overtime, and I think 1 went to a shootout. But again, it's a small sample size, and you know the best test is at the NHL level, but. You know, again, we're a week into the season. I think to race to conclusion it's a bit early. So hopefully, as we go along here, I think the big, you know, I was one of the guys that was a push on dry scrape, we'd get better ice, and that was sort of something that I got in talking to Nick Lidstrom and Brian Rafalski when they played on our team. They thought when we went to overtime, the ice wasn't as good, and it sort of slowed the game down. So. Sort of stuck in my head from that point forward. If we could ever get better ice in overtime, it might have an impact. And then the long change. So it's a small sample size. There's a long way to go.
I never understood why the NHL would scrape for one guy, but leave bad ice for 8 guys out there.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest thing is the timing. You know, I think that. You know, I thought the other night we played Boston. I thought our 2 guys did a great job. They put 4:30 on the clock and. Before the 4:30 was over, the doors were shut, the Zambonis were off the ice, and I would think in about 4.5 minutes we had the puck dropped and we went to overtime. I think in preseason we had one night in Chicago, we had one other night. I think the people were still trying to figure it out. It was about a 6-minute, it's too long. I mean, one of the things that we had talked about the managers meeting, if we could get, you know, when the game ends, if we can get, 4 minutes to 4:30 and get the game back going, it keeps the fans involved in the game. If you start to get 6 and 7 minute breaks, it's too long. So we're obviously monitoring that as we go as well.
A lot of things, a bit of a softball question, but they're saying Mike Babcock wouldn't talk about his coaching situation today in the press conference this morning. And
that's
I'm just
good.
Not for you. But Toronto is abuzz about that, as they always are. And it's going to be an intriguing, maybe distracting story throughout the year. So what's the Red Wings' official position on that?
Well, they would just, you know, Mike and I talked prior to the season, and you know, obviously in the world today, you know, it's the same questions over and over again. I think we're best served not to talk about it. Certainly, he's in the last year of his contract. Everybody knows that, and you know, whether we do talk or whether we don't talk, we're not going to say, "Oh, we had a conversation last night." Then the watch starts. So, you know, I travel with the team for most of the road games. You know, I'm at the rink. You know, Mike and I've got a great relationship that goes back to 05. You know, so.
But did you ever get to the point where you exchanged numbers on either dollars or term?
Well, I think going back to the summertime. So yeah. we had some conversations. Obviously, we couldn't find a solution. So, you know, we're not going to talk about it, but I am talking about it. I'm hoping to find a solution, but we're not going to have we don't want an ongoing watch. I think it's going to chase us more, certainly in Toronto. I mean, we're sitting here at a studio. They don't have one of these in every city we go to. So, you know, I think that, it's early in the season. We're playing the Leafs home and home, and, he's news, you know, he won 2 gold medals, and We've had a lot of success under Mike, and he's an unrestricted free agent. It's no different probably than if a top-notch player was going into last year of the contract. It's news, and you need news to talk about.
Do you like the fact that we put the studio right beside your hotel so you could just pop over?
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's handy, yeah.
What do you think of the look?
No, it's a fabulous. I mean, first time I've been in here, it's really an incredible setup. So I watched last weekend. It's a fabulous job.
23 years, straight years in the playoffs. Where do you see your team this year? Are you in a transition in any way, or?
Well, without a doubt, I think, you know, I think the transition really started probably when Nick Lidstrom retired. At that time in the back end. And within a 2-year period, we lost Brad Stewart, Nick Lidstrom, and Brian Rafalski. You know, in the meantime, you know, Brendan Smith was a first round pick. He's really, in our minds, coming of age at the age of 25. We signed Dan DeKeyser, a free agent out of Western Michigan, had a real nice rookie year last year. We've gone to more young players. Coming out of 05, as we went into a work stoppage, prior to 05, we traded, I think, 7 first-round draft picks over the previous 8 or 9 years to acquire guys like Shanahan and Hasek and Chelios and Robert Lang, Matthew Schneider. So we got more conservative, and because it's a draft pick league. So we're trying to compete for a playoff spot. At the same time, we're trying to transition younger people onto our roster that we think will be a part of us being a playoff team going forward. Now we got to watch to see how it works out. But certainly, there are no quick fixes. You got to draft. You got to develop. We don't draft very high. We don't draft those players. We haven't had a top 10 pick since, I think, 2000, since 1993, and a top 5 pick since 1991. We draft players that we think can be NHL players, but we got to leave them in junior. We got to leave them in college. We got to put them in the American League for 2 or 3 years. You know, so from the time we draft them, it's probably, for the most part, it's 4 or 5 years, 6 years before they really get to Detroit to have any kind of an impact. We're sort of in a transition, but I think that's probably... the way of running an NHL team today is slowly trying to put younger people onto your roster.
I think it's a statement accurate. A few years ago, you said about Nick Lidstrom, you knew was going to happen. Brian Rafalski caught you by surprise. And there's only so many pieces you can lose in a short period of time. And that one was one that you weren't ready for.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, Rafi had a year to go on his contract and walked in and decided that he wanted to retire. Without a doubt. I mean, when you get that news, you're shocked. I mean, he won he was the most valuable defenseman in the Olympics in Vancouver in 2010, and 2 years later, he's gone. So, and defense is it's hard to play in the NHL. It in order to help your team win, it's a great league, and you know, I use the word it's a man's league, and lots of people can play in the league, but. You know, you're trying to win. You're trying to compete for a playoff spot. You're trying to compete to win a playoff round. You're trying to compete to go, and certainly that's what we were able to do for a long stretch in Detroit. And we had a lot of older players and veteran players. And you think our 0-2 team was an old team, but again, we're trying to transition. Once you can get some of those players onto your roster, they can carry you for 10, 12, 14, 15 years, and if you happen to get some superstars like we had with Nick Lidstrom and Steve Yzerman, it's 18, 20, 21, 22 years that they're really carrying your franchise. So, we don't have those superstars coming. We think we've got lots of good players. We think we've got some young players that are going to be around for a while on our team in Detroit now, but we also think we've got some younger players in Grand Rapids and in our system that need time, but they can work their way up into Detroit.
Ken Holland is with us. His Detroit Red Wings face the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight, 7:30 at Air Canada Centre. Pregame show, Hockey Central at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet Ontario. And then tomorrow night, the back half of the home-and-home on Hockey Night in Canada. Darren Millard along with Gord Stellick and Scott Morrison. You were with Brendan Shanahan, I saw today, having a conversation at ACC at the Morning Skate. It's tough for you to go to a visiting building, and not speak to somebody who worked or played for you, is now in management. There was a great piece in Sportsnet magazine that showed sort of you at the top and then a graph, almost like a family tree. Do you get tired grooming people for other teams?
No, I mean, it's, you know what? I was so lucky to work with, off the ice and on the ice, so many great players. I was really lucky. I became a general manager in the league in 1997 of a Stanley Cup champion team. And you know, behind the scenes, obviously he'd been with the Red Wings since 85, working in the draft. More, you know, usually when you get your first opportunity to be a manager, the team's at the bottom, and you've got to go through that process. You know, I got to become a manager when Yzerman was in his prime and Lidstrom was in his prime and Shanahan was in his prime, and we had the Russian five, and, you know, and then we slipped a touch or looked, you know, we missed the lost in the first round in 01, and we went out, we brought in Hasek and Luke Robitaille. So I got the opportunity to work with, you know, and then Scotty Bowman and Jim Devolano. You know, like for me, it was like going to Harvard to work with those guys in the office every day. They had been in the league 25, 30 years and had won Stanley Cup. So got the, you know, it really is amazing when you look, you know, when you think now of all the people that have kind of come through our organization and they've gone on to, you know, Shanny's running the Leafs and Steve Yzerman's running Tampa Bay and Jim Neal's running Dallas. And
well, Bill Peters, Todd McClellan, Bill Peters, coaches.
Yeah, they, you know, Mike Babcock deserves a ton of credit in bringing those people in. But certainly it's been fun, and we're grinding away, and we're trying to make the playoffs for a 24th straight year in a row. But it's certainly it's a lot of fun and
tough competing against yourself and
But part of the reason we've been in the playoffs 23 straight years in a row is those people. They certainly the players on the ice have done it. You know, they did it on the ice and they've, you know, they had passion. They were good players, great players, Hall of Fame players with a lot of passion. They've taken that passion when their game retired into the front office, and you know, it's probably a big part of the reason why we were able to accomplish whatever we did.
And Ken, of course, Paul McLean, another guy, coach of the year that came, but the guy you mentioned, Shanahan, and part of why the Babcock talk is going on in Toronto, and I'm wondering what you thought about Brendan. You know, you wonder about, like, Jimmy Benning's a guy I was surprised as a kid that has ended up, and deservedly so, in Vancouver, but guys that end up taking that career path. Did you always see that Brendan Shanahan, this was the kind of post-playing career thing he was ticketed for?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think especially during 05, during the work stoppage, when he was able to kind of rally people from both sides to have the Shanahan conference,
yeah.
To find ways to make to improve our game. You know, Shanny, you know, he wants the game to be better. He's a thinker, has a lot of passion for the game, and then he, you know, I thought a great hire for the league, and I talked to him a few times in the league, and I know that. You know, we were actually talking about it today. You know, when you're working for a team, those wins and the losses, the juice is flowing on game day. You know, there's a big game tonight, Detroit, Toronto. You know, certainly he was able to learn a lot of things at the league. From you know, certainly when you play, I know they sit in the locker room and at times decisions are made and you wonder, what are those guys doing up there making those decisions? Why do they make those decisions? And I think when you come to the other you're in an office every day, and we look at things, you know, maybe a little bit differently than players, like a lot like a coach. They think about today and today only. How do we win the game tonight? And sometimes there has to be some thinking and some decisions made that are going to factor out, you know, 20 games a year, 2 years. So, you know, I think then again, like I said, I talked to Shanny when he was with the league, and I know that he was. You know, he loved working for the league, but was looking forward to an opportunity to work for a team and have that. Like I said, the juice is flowing on a day-to-day basis where you're revved up and it's a huge game tonight, and you're down after a loss, you're a little up after a win, and you wake up the next day and away you go. It's a great feeling.
3 minutes, Scotty.
It's interesting that quote unquote generation of player, where you think of an Yzerman and a Shanahan and. A Sakic, and now you see Pronger's gone to the league, Rob Blake's gone to a team, that generation has all gone that management route.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, but I think also, I think that when, when a few people do it and have success, it gets other mm-hmm. people thinking about it. And I think that, I mean, you're talking about, you know, and I also think there's more teams, there's more opportunities. You know, probably there was, you know, you go back 40 years, there were six teams. I mean, there wasn't a lot of opportunity. You had people in their positions for 20, 30, 35, 40 years. So there's more, you know, with 30 teams, there's more opportunity to stay in the game.
When do you look at your analytics report before tonight's game?
I watch you guys on TV with the analytics.
Do you get a daily report or a weekly report or any type of...
When we want to make this, we're just sort of... You know, we're just sort of getting into it. Shanny and I were sitting there this morning. That's one of the things we were talking about was a little bit about analytics. And, you know, I think it's a hard sport just to decide that analytics is going to make your decision. I think analytics is a great tool to create more conversation and different perspective to look at things. And you think you're going to do something, and the analytics either agrees with you or doesn't agree with you. And if it doesn't agree with you, it creates, why doesn't it agree with it, agree with us? And I think as we go along, I think analytics is probably going to have a little bigger, as we fine tune and we get more information and there's more, angles and information. But, I've always made decisions. I think, I'd like to think I'm a numbers guy. It's been sort of based upon numbers, but it's been, we need 250 goals, and how many goals can this guy get? And before the year goes, and we're some goals short, very rudimentary numbers. Now it's getting way more detailed and way more, and we're all trying to figure out exactly the role that it's got. But certainly, I think it's here to stay.
Last minute.
Do analytics say you signed Mike Babcock?
Anything new with Elfie?
So. Yeah. Anything new in the last 10 minutes? Yeah,
yeah. Anything new with Elfie?
No, Elfie would love to play again. We're giving him all the opportunity that he can, he needs to try to see if his body will allow him to play again. So, obviously, as time goes on, he needs to get some positive results from his body, but we'll see.